Colleen Hoover's reminders of him has captured the hearts of millions, becoming a TikTok sensation with over 2 billion views under its hashtag. This heart-wrenching tale of a mother fighting to reconnect with her daughter after imprisonment has resonated deeply with readers worldwide, including celebrities like Reese Witherspoon, who featured it in her book club. The novel's exploration of grief, forgiveness, and second chances speaks to universal human experiences, making it one of Hoover's most emotionally impactful works. What makes this book particularly powerful is how it challenges readers to reconsider their perspectives on redemption. Can someone who's made a terrible mistake ever truly be forgiven? Kenna Rowan returns to the town where tragedy changed her life forever after serving 5 years in prison. At 26, she's starting over with nothing but hope, moving into a rundown apartment in a neglected part of town where paint peels from the walls and the stairs creak ominously with each step. Her new home is a stark reminder of how far she's fallen from the life she once imagined for herself. When her eccentric landlord, Martha, offers her a scraggly orange kitten in lieu of paying an electric deposit, Kenna accepts the unexpected companion, finding comfort in having another living being to care for. The weight of her past haunts every moment of her days. She was responsible for the death of Scotty, the father of her child, not through malice or deliberate action, but through a moment of panic and poor judgment on a dark, rainy night that ended in irrevocable tragedy. The memories of that evening play on repeat in her mind. The rain-slicked roads, the confusion, the devastating choice to leave the scene, and the horrific consequences that followed. Her mission is singular and desperate: to reconnect with her 4-year-old daughter, Diem, whom she's never been allowed to hold. The pain of missing her daughter's first steps, first words, and every precious milestone cuts deeper than any prison sentence. Diem lives with Scotty's parents, Grace and Patrick, in their well-maintained home across town. They've obtained full custody and have made it crystal clear they want nothing to do with the woman they blame for destroying their family. Their lawyers' cease and desist letters serve as constant reminders of the legal barriers between Kenna and her child. In her sparse apartment, decorated only with a secondhand mattress and a few essential items from the local thrift store, Kenna continues the practice she began in prison, writing letters to Scotty. Each night, she pours her heart onto paper, filling pages with her grief, regrets, and desperate longing for their daughter. She describes Diem's features that she's only seen in photographs smuggled to her by a sympathetic former coworker. Their daughter's honey brown hair, her father's dimpled smile, and eyes that mirror Kenna's own. These letters become her emotional lifeline, a way to process her guilt and maintain a connection to the man she loved and lost. Sometimes she imagines Scotty reading them somewhere, understanding her remorse and forgiveness. With determination born of maternal love, Kenna begins her uphill battle to build a life worthy of her daughter. She applies for countless jobs, facing rejection after rejection as potential employers recoil from her criminal record. Yet she persists, knowing each small step forward, whether it's securing a job interview at a local diner or saving every spare dollar, brings her incrementally closer to creating a life that might one day include her daughter. Fate intervenes when Kenna visits Ward's, a local bar on the outskirts of town, seeking solitude after another emotionally draining day. Behind the bar stands a handsome, perceptive bartender who immediately notices the cloud of melancholy surrounding her. When she orders a caramel coffee but discovers they're out of caramel, he crafts her a thoughtful alternative: coffee topped with fresh whipped cream and crowned with a maraschino cherry. This seemingly small gesture, the first genuine kindness she's experienced since her release, catches her completely off guard, bringing unexpected tears to her eyes. The bartender, intrigued by this vulnerable moment from a woman who's been deflecting attention all evening, extends a gentle invitation for her to return after his shift. Their evening reunion crackles with undeniable chemistry. He's drawn to her quiet intensity and underlying sadness, while she finds herself opening up more than she has in years. The bar's ambient lighting and soft music create an intimate atmosphere as they share stories, though Kenna carefully avoids any mention of her past. After the last patron leaves and the chairs are turned up on tables, they find themselves caught in an electric moment. Their first kiss feels like awakening, passionate, tender, and full of promise. For a brief, beautiful moment, Kenna allows herself to imagine a future where happiness might be possible. Then reality crashes in with brutal force. "I'm Ledger," he says with a warm smile, and Kenna's world implodes. The name hits her like a physical blow. Ledger, Scotty's inseparable friend since childhood, the one who'd been supposed to drive that fateful night but had called out sick. The man whose social media photos she'd seen countless times, showing him with her daughter at birthday parties and school events, playing the role of uncle while she sat in prison. Kenna bolts from the bar, leaving Ledger confused and concerned by her visceral reaction to his name. The following afternoon, as she makes another attempt to glimpse Diem from afar, a ritual she's developed since arriving in town, Ledger appears like an avenging angel. Recognition dawns in his eyes, followed by cold fury. His gentle demeanor from the previous night vanishes as he roughly escorts her away from the property, his grip firm and unforgiving. His threat to involve law enforcement carries the weight of 5 years of protective anger toward the family he's sworn to shield. Their unexpected connection creates an agonizing web of complications. Ledger stands as both Diem's fierce protector and the keeper of Scotty's memory, while simultaneously battling his attraction to the woman he's supposed to hate. Kenna finds herself torn between her desperate longing to know her daughter and her growing feelings for a man who represents everything she's lost and everything standing in her way. Their chemistry becomes a cruel joke played by fate, tangled in layers of loyalty, unresolved grief, and the weight of secrets that refuse to stay buried. As Kenna navigates life with a criminal record, every job rejection feels like another punishment for her past. After countless failed applications and doors slammed in her face, she finally secures a position as a grocery bagger at Food Lion. This opportunity comes through Amy, a manager whose initial wariness transforms into cautious interest in Kenna's story. While the job is modest, it represents the first time someone has looked past her record to see her as a person. Though Amy's fascination with prison life sometimes makes Kenna uncomfortable, as if her trauma has become a source of entertainment. The restraining order from Grace and Patrick arrives like a physical blow, written in cold legal language that formally bars her from any contact with Diem. The document feels heavier than its single page, weighted with all the moments she'll never share with her daughter. First days of school, birthday parties, bedtime stories, all forbidden by a few paragraphs of legal text. Through a series of gut-wrenching flashbacks and tear-stained letters to Scotty, the full tragedy of that fateful night unfolds. What began as a typical evening turned catastrophic when their car hit black ice and flipped into a ditch. The impact left Scotty trapped in the mangled vehicle, and a dazed Kenna, bleeding from a head wound, stumbled away to find help. The darkness and freezing temperatures disorientated her further. She wandered in circles, her concussion preventing clear thought, until she collapsed in the snow. When police finally found her hours later, their words shattered her world. Scotty had been alive when she left, slowly dying from his injuries while she wandered aimlessly in the wrong direction. In the courtroom, Kenna was a ghost of herself. She stood before the judge in a daze, barely registering the proceedings as her parental rights were stripped away. The guilt consumed her so completely that she offered no defense, no explanation. When she gave birth to Diem in the prison hospital, the baby was whisked away before Kenna could memorize her face or count her tiny fingers. All she has is one glimpse of dark hair and the echo of a newborn cry. Her remorse has become a living thing, growing alongside her love for the daughter she's never known. Each morning begins with the same ritual. She whispers to Scotty's memory, "I'm sorry, thank you, I'm sorry." The words are both penance and prayer, apologizing for the life she took while expressing gratitude to his parents for giving Diem the life she couldn't provide. The weight of her mistake hasn't lessened with time. Instead, it's become part of her, as permanent as her breath, as constant as her love for the child she lost the right to know. Despite his initial hostility, Ledger finds himself drawn to Kenna in ways that both confuse and concern him. When he discovers her walking home in the rain one evening, soaked and shivering, he offers her a ride, an impulsive decision that contradicts everything he's believed about her. These small interactions gradually reveal Kenna's true character to him, not the monster he'd imagined, but a broken woman carrying the weight of her past while desperately trying to rebuild her life. Against his better judgment and professional instincts, Ledger offers Kenna a weekend job washing dishes at his bar, insisting she use the fake name Kendra to avoid discovery by Patrick and Grace, who frequent the establishment. Their professional relationship evolves into something more complex as Ledger begins sharing precious moments of Deem's life with Kenna. He shows her videos of dance recitals, birthday parties, and ordinary moments that most mothers take for granted. Each glimpse of her daughter is simultaneously a gift and a knife to the heart. Kenna laughs through tears at Deem's awkward attempt at ballet, treasuring these secondhand connections while aching for the chance to create her own memories. She memorizes every detail, the way Deem scrunches her nose when she concentrates, how she talks with her hands just like Scotty used to, the sound of her giggle. As Ledger spends more time with Kenna, his certainties begin to crumble. He notices the unmistakable physical similarities between mother and daughter, the same reddish-brown hair that catches the light, identical, expressive eyes that seem to change color with their moods, even the way they both bite their lower lip when thinking. These observations force him to question whether keeping them apart is truly protecting Deem or causing harm to both mother and child. The black and white narrative he's believed for years develops shades of gray. When Kenna finally shares the complete story of the night Scotty died, her account is raw and devastating. She describes the panic that set in when she realized what had happened, the disorientation from the concussion, and her desperate attempts to find help in an area with no cell service. She reveals multiple suicide attempts during her imprisonment, information that had never made it into the official narrative. This vulnerability, combined with her evident remorse, causes Ledger's perspective to shift dramatically. "I'm not mad at you," he tells her after processing her story, his voice thick with emotion. "I'm sorry you lost him too." This acknowledgement of her grief, something no one has ever offered her, marks a crucial turning point in their relationship. Ledger finally recognizes that Kenna has been unfairly defined by the worst moment of her life rather than by who she truly is, a woman who has paid her debt to society and deserves a chance at redemption. As Kenna and Ledger's relationship deepens into genuine love, they face the impossible reality of their situation. What started as cautious attraction has blossomed into something profound, built on shared grief, understanding, and an undeniable connection. Their quiet moments together, sharing stories about Scotty, finding comfort in each other's presence, make their inevitable separation even more heart-wrenching. Patrick discovers Ledger's involvement with Kenna during an unexpected visit to Ledger's house, where he finds evidence of Kenna's presence. His reaction is immediate and severe. "You can choose that woman, or you can choose Deem," Patrick declares, his voice heavy with betrayal. The ultimatum strikes at Ledger's core. His role in Deem's life as a surrogate father figure has been central to his identity for years. The choice seems devastatingly clear. Deem needs Ledger in her life, and Kenna, despite her pain, understands this fundamental truth. Devastated but resolute, Kenna prepares to leave town, unable to bear being so close to her daughter without ever seeing her. The weight of proximity without connection has become unbearable. She visits Ledger one last time, asking for money to start over elsewhere, enough for first month's rent and basic necessities in a new city. Her request comes with conditions. She insists he apologize to the Landrys and maintain his relationship with Deem at all costs. Their tearful goodbye in his kitchen feels final, raw with unspoken words and shattered possibilities. Ledger promises, his voice breaking, to tell Diem someday what a wonderful mother she has, a promise that offers Kenna little comfort but feels vital to make. But Ledger, after days of internal struggle, makes one last desperate attempt to change the narrative. Having kept Kenna's letters to Scotty, hundreds of them, each filled with remorse, love, and hope, he secretly selects the most powerful one, prints it out, and brings it to Patrick and Grace. Standing his ground against their initial fury and resistance, he makes an impassioned plea that cuts to the heart of their years-long stance. You're taking the worst moment of Kenna's life and making that moment who she is. His voice steady but emotional, he reminds them that Scotty, who they all loved, would want his daughter to know her mother. He challenges them to give Kenna's letter just 20 minutes of their time to see beyond their grief and consider what's best for Diem. The letter he chooses reveals not just Kenna's remorse, but her deep love for both Scotty and the daughter she's never been allowed to know. The next morning marks a pivotal moment when Grace appears at Kenna's apartment, carrying a small velvet bag that holds more than just jewelry. It contains years of unspoken history. Inside is an antique ring with a delicate pink stone, the same one Kenna and Scotty had lingered over in an antique shop window years ago. Grace reveals that Scotty had worked extra shifts and borrowed money to secretly purchase it for Kenna, a testament to a love story cut tragically short. This revelation hits Kenna with the weight of all the moments and memories she never got to experience. Grace's words, "Today was the first morning I didn't wake up angry at you," break through years of built-up resentment and pain. Her apology for keeping Kenna from Diem for 5 years comes from a place of hard-earned understanding, transformed by witnessing Kenna's unwavering remorse and Ledger's passionate advocacy for second chances. This moment of forgiveness doesn't erase the past, but it creates a bridge toward healing that neither woman thought possible. The long-awaited meeting between Kenna and Diem unfolds in a way that's beautifully understated yet profound. Diem, smelling of strawberries and childhood innocence, takes her mother's hand without hesitation, a simple gesture that carries the weight of 5 years of separation. The little girl's beloved turtle, named Ledger, after the man who's been a constant in her life, becomes a touching symbol of the family they're all becoming. Inside the rainbow-colored jungle gym, a space that represents childhood safety and joy, Kenna reveals her identity to her daughter. Diem's response, accepting this life-changing information with the pure, uncomplicated grace that only children possess, demonstrates how love can transcend time and circumstance. The scene in the kitchen afterward becomes sacred ground for healing. Grace's embrace of Kenna isn't just physical, it's an absolution, a promise, and a new beginning wrapped into one gesture. Her words about moving forward together create a manifesto for their future. We go forward. It's that simple. I forgive you and you forgive me, and we go forward together and give that little girl the best life we can give her. This moment catalyzes Kenna's final step in her journey, truly forgiving herself. The weight of guilt she's carried for years begins to lift, not because she's forgotten her past, but because she's finally allowed to build a future from it. This transformation shows how forgiveness, when genuine and earned, has the power to heal not just individuals, but entire families. It demonstrates that redemption isn't about erasing mistakes, but about creating something meaningful from them, a lesson that resonates through every relationship in the story. The epilogue takes place 3 years after the main events, with Diem now 7 years old. Though Kenna missed the first 5 years of her daughter's life, the gap has been bridged through countless stories, photographs, and videos shared by Ledger and Scotty's parents. These shared memories have created a sense of continuity, making it feel as though Kenna has always been present in Diem's life. The custody arrangement has evolved into a stable rhythm. Diem lives primarily with Patrick and Grace, her grandparents, but spends at least 2 nights each week with Ledger and Kenna in their home. Their unconventional family unit has found its balance, built on a foundation of hard-won forgiveness and their shared devotion to Diem. The initial tensions have softened into understanding, and even Patrick and Grace have come to appreciate Kenna's presence in their granddaughter's life. Regular family dinners and shared holidays have become normal, though the path to this harmony wasn't always smooth. Kenna's thoughtful nature is revealed in her approach to naming, a trait that shows both her depth and growth. She spent months choosing Diem's name, wanting it to carry meaning and hope. Even naming their family cat became a 3-day deliberation. Yet when she and Ledger welcomed their son, the decision was instantaneous and profound. Naming him Scotty felt like both a tribute and a blessing, bridging past and present with healing grace. The relationship between mother and daughter deepens through meaningful rituals, including visits to the spot where Scotty's memorial cross once stood. During one such visit, Kenna shares an important lesson about love with Diem, explaining that sometimes we do things for people we love, even though we wouldn't choose to do those things for ourselves. This moment reflects how Kenna has matured in her understanding of love and sacrifice. When Diem expresses her wish for a sibling, Kenna's silent plea to Scotty reveals both her ongoing connection to him and her new life with Ledger. Music, once a source of painful memories, has transformed into something healing. Kenna no longer relies on Ledger's carefully curated safe playlist, instead embracing the randomness of radio play. Each song that reminds her of Scotty now brings a smile rather than tears, a testament to her emotional growth and healing. The memories of Scotty have evolved from a burden of guilt into a treasured part of her past that coexists peacefully with her present happiness. She's achieved what once seemed impossible, being both a loving mother to Diem and a devoted partner to Ledger, while honoring Scotty's memory in a healthy way. This resolution demonstrates how broken pieces can be reassembled into something new and beautiful, not erasing the cracks, but creating something stronger at the broken places. The family they've built isn't traditional, but it's whole, held together by love, understanding, and the shared commitment to giving Diem the best possible life. Reminders of Him powerfully explores how a single mistake can derail a life, and how forgiveness of others and oneself can lead to redemption. Through Kenna's journey, we witness the devastating consequences of one moment of panic and poor judgment, but also the possibility of rebuilding a life worthy of love and connection. The novel challenges readers to consider complex questions. How do we define a person? By their worst moment or by the sum of their actions? Can someone truly atone for a terrible mistake? What does real forgiveness look like? And how do we balance justice with compassion? Hoover masterfully portrays the ripple effects of tragedy across multiple lives. Kenna's imprisonment and loss of her child, Patrick and Grace's grief over their son, Ledger's loyalty to his friend's memory, and Deem's right to know her mother. There are no villains in this story, only people trying to navigate impossible circumstances with the emotional tools they have. By the end, each character has grown through their willingness to see beyond their pain and recognize the humanity in others. Grace and Patrick move from rigid hatred to tentative acceptance, Ledger from protective anger to advocacy, and Kenna from self-loathing to self-forgiveness. Their collective healing creates space for Diem to have the family she deserves, one built not on perfect circumstances, but on perfect love. In Kenna's final letter to Scotty, she writes that she hardly writes anymore because she's no longer lonely. This simple statement encapsulates her transformation, from isolation to connection, from grief to joy, from punishment to redemption. Through forgiveness, she has found her way home.